Antically, as part of.
Sorry, can I just hang on a second, Alex? I'm sorry to interrupt. I've started recording again. This bit will only be used for an audio file, so no one need worry about their video being visible to other people. So I'm recording, but it'll just be for an audio file. Sorry, Alex, go ahead.
As part of the course, we encourage the people who live with Parkinson's. I hate the word caregivers, but that's the word people use. To be involved in every session, every event, so they can learn a lot about Parkinson's and a lot about what you're living with. That helps them help you, and they have a session all for themselves to help themselves, where they lock the door and you're not allowed in. So he can vent his frustrations or whatever. We also have a special course called Focus on You, which is only for caregivers. That's even more than what we do, and would give him psychological evaluation, psychological help with our neuropsychologists, and would also give him quite a lot of moments of relaxation. We'll send him to the spa free of charge, give him massages, try and help a lot of people who care for people with Parkinson's give up their lives. And that's wrong. It's very right, because if you love somebody, you want to help them. But they start to stop to do what they love to do. And that means that they give up their quality of life to care for the person with Parkinson's. One, the person with Parkinson's probably is far more able than you realize. The more you care for him, probably the less he will do. And also, the person with Parkinson often feels guilt. I feel very guilty. Not because I have Parkinson's, but because of what I do to my family. I feel very guilty that I put a weight on my family. It's not true, of course. I'm still the same person I was 32 years ago when I got married. My wife said to me 2 weeks ago, I still love you as much as I did when we got married. I thought that was a very sweet thing for her to say. Now, either she didn't love me very much when we got married, which is a possibility, or she meant it. And I think that's wonderful. The most wonderful thing for me is to come home in the evening and find my wife smiling and joyful. She does trips down to Palermo. She went to Palermo 2 days ago, a one-day trip. I can't do that. That's way beyond my abilities. But why can't she? She can have her own life, and I encourage that. The aspect of care people who live with Parkinson's is a trap in a way that you can get dragged into it, but you can also find solutions to live with it, and that's what we teach.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question, David?
Yeah, go ahead, Henry. Sorry, I was muted. Go ahead and ask your question, Henry.
Right. Well, firstly, this is my first time on being able to get in touch, so I've got a new, that's good. But you might be interested to know that I've literally, just in the last 10 minutes, had a phone call from Australia to say that the famous athlete, John Landy, who broke the 4-minute mile with Roger Bannister and had Parkinson's towards the end, has just died, age 91. So he kept his interest in sport and athletics, and he was the governor in Western Australia. So that was some sad news. But what I'd like to ask is, when did you give up cycling, and what were the issues? I managed to cycle up until my 80th birthday, and raise money for Parkinson's, but in the last 3 years, I've been very unstable and have given up the bike.
I've never given up cycling. There's actually a cycle on the wall. It's not mine. I have an electric bicycle. I still cycle today. My balance hasn't gone. I can understand what you're saying. Ironically, Bas Bloom shows a video of a man who can't walk because of Parkinson's, but you put him on a bicycle and he can cycle. Incredible. Parkinson's affects people in different ways. We help people get their balance back, and we believe cycling is very beneficial if done in the correct way. There is a protocol for that. I think if you love something and you lose it, sometimes that can be something which lowers your quality of life. Either you get it back again, or you just accept that that's the way it is. I can't drive a car anymore. That's the way it is. And I don't regret that. I probably got pleased. I know the pedestrians are very pleased. I think there are things. There was a lovely study done. It's called the Parkinson Outcomes Project. It asks the question in 16 countries, what is it that destroys the quality of life of a person with Parkinson's? The answer.
Were you affected by low blood pressure when you cycled?
Right.
Because that's one of the problems I've got is now, if I do anything suddenly, I've got to be conscious of my blood pressure dropping very rapidly.
Yeah, we monitor blood pressure, and there are actually solutions for that, but that's beyond the scope of today. What I was saying is the thing that destroys the quality of life is not Parkinson's. Parkinson's will not destroy your quality of life. What destroys our quality of life is anxiety, fear, depression, apathy, all of which are emotions. Incredibly, the thing that destroys us is our emotions towards having Parkinson's and our fear for the future. That's one of the things we try and deal with at the center. We explain what Parkinson's is, and not to be afraid of it, but to live with it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Henry. Anyone else have a question for Alex?
Can I ask something, please?
Yes, Donna, go ahead.
My husband and I were both diagnosed with Parkinson's in May 2018. We're thinking of going to Italy this spring. Do we organize it through Edinburgh Parkinson's, or do we organize it through the Centre Direct, or?
Well, on our website page, which is parkinsontherapy.com, very easy to remember.
Okay.
And on the top right, there's request availability. You fill out that form, write in that you're Parkinson Edinburgh, so we can apply a discount. And we'd love to have you.
Right.
Also, the website is actually quite interesting.
What was the website again?
Parkinsontherapy.com. I'll put it onto chat.
Okay, I've written it down.
I'll send the link to the website to everyone after the meeting. So you don't need to bother to do that, Alex. I'll do that.
Can I speak now?
Yes, Vicky, go ahead. It's a good time to get your news into.
I already have booked to go to the centre. On the course starts on the week starts on the 24th of April, but I'm travelling from Edinburgh on the 23rd of April because there's only one plane from Edinburgh and it arrives too late for the meeting on the Sunday evening. So I thought I'd go on the Saturday. I didn't put Parkinson's Edinburgh because I didn't know I'd get a discount. But maybe I can send an email and get a discount now. But I'm really looking forward to going, and especially having heard your talk. That's enthused me even more for going.
Oh, please.
But it would be lovely, because I'm going on my own, it would be lovely if Donna and her husband came at the same time, or anyone else from Edinburgh. It would be lovely. Also, it would make my taxi fare cheaper.
And more people to come on the week of the 24th, the better and the cheaper it is for the the transfer we would do free of charge.
Oh.
Over six people.
Thanks, Vicky. The branch should get a fee for putting business in that, because it's not business, it's all done at a cost. But it's great that some people are considering going. Anyone else having a question? Yes,
it's Claire.
Claire.
Yeah. I just wondered, Alex, how sort of quickly do you get booked up? How far in advance do you get booked up? So, I mean, I'm interested that people could still book for April of this year by the sound of it, because the gentleman earlier was talking about having sort of booked again for next year. So if you could answer that. And also the online courses that you mentioned, are they available free of charge, or is there a fee? And is that on your website as well? Because I don't think I'd seen those.
No, it's a new website. It's a new website which will have free video courses. And the exercise courses are, I think, 10 euros a week, because they're interactive and we have to pay the therapist. I've got Parkinson's. I've forgotten your first question.
Sorry, it was two questions. That was bad of me. No, the first question was just how far in advance you get booked up.
Right. Well, during January, February, March, April, you can see the price is quite a lot less. We do normally have 80 to 90% capacity. So we normally have space fairly easily, even at last minute. From May onwards, we go up to full capacity. In fact, May is already fairly heavily booked. But remember, we're 50% Italian and 50% foreign people from around the world. And the Italians, God bless them, I'm married to one, they book at the last minute. They can't book anything in advance. They did just the holiday brochures for next summer aren't even out yet. So Italians just book at the last minute. So we often find we have a week, 3 weeks from now, when we think, oh, that's strange. You've got a week which is going to be quite quiet. And 1 week later, that week is booked out fully. But the English and the Americans and the Australians and whoever else normally book in advance, overseas people. The Libyans.
Any other questions for Alex?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Yes, I mean, this is all fantastic. And clearly, the key to the thing is not just the propositions, but the immense quality of the resources which are available in Italy, which you set up, which obviously is a high cost operation, which obviously follows from that not everyone in the world can get access to it. So what we ask ourselves is, well, how can we try to achieve the huge successes and the huge benefits that you're able to generate in Italy, in Edinburgh? at a realistic cost. And I really haven't got my mind around how it, you know, what we ought to be doing about it. But clearly there are propositions which are important. Is it an issue of trying to train staff? I mean, we can forget the National Health Service making any serious contribution to this issue. If anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Parkinson's UK, Edinburgh branch, or whatever. That's where any movement will come from. But how to generate these skilled resources and apply them in a cost-effective way to several hundred people, rather than the very small number who are going to be able to raise the resources to go to your fantastic operation in Italy. Yeah. I think that's really my. I hope you take my point.
I've got your point. The week in Italy, a lot of people say, has been fantastic. I feel better. I go back better with a more positive attitude, and I know what I need to do. But I've also had a wonderful holiday. Now, that's not the purpose of the week, but it is a beautiful area of Italy. So some people take it as a holiday. I would say that I feel awful that we have to charge people any money. I think it's wrong. And we are arguing with the European government. I went to Brussels and spoke to the European government, Parliament. We are arguing with the Americans. We're arguing, we think the therapy that's given for people with Parkinson's right now is below standard. To answer your question, I'm not actually paid 1 cent from European Parkinson. I may be the founder and director of a worldwide center, but I just feel guilty. I mean, I've got Parkinson's. If I take a salary, we're gonna have to put our prices up. That's just not right. And I have a tour operator, but you may know that during the COVID last 2 years, we lost that 80,000 euros in the therapy center, and I earned no money at all from tourism. So it's been a tough 2 years, but I don't mind that. The European Parkinson's Therapy Center is set up to help people with Parkinson's as best they can. So that's why we added the training center. So we do either allow people to come over in groups, therapists or occupational therapists or whatever they want, and learn our techniques, or they can come over and spend 3 weeks with us doing a stage. That's an Italian word, work experience program. Learn our techniques and bring them back to Scotland. We encourage that. We have quite a lot of people come over with their person from the local gym or the person who looks after them for physiotherapy. And they stay with us for 2 weeks, and the physiotherapist stays for 2 weeks and learns our techniques. We have no secrets. We have no problems in passing that information on. That's the best way of getting information back. Parkinson UK, we've got a great relationship with Steve Ford, with a personal friend. I'm very sorry to see him go. But Parkinson UK will never fund a centre like European Parkinson's. They have funded First Steps, which we support them. So that's good news, and it is a step forward. I take your point. I think the answer is we need to get as many therapists to come and join us. come and join us in Italy.
And this video to part of it, I guess, yeah.
And to learn our techniques and bring them back to Scotland.
Yeah. Thanks, that makes sense.
So I mean, Patrick and I have discussed the possibility of trying to set something like that up here, and I think I've heard nothing to discourage us from thinking seriously about that, Patrick.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Alex before we round things up?
Vicky had a question.
Hello. Alex, I just wanted to say that because the Parkinson's in Edinburgh does provide some wonderful physiotherapy, and that Sasha Bagley, who takes the classes, she came to your centre, and actually the reason that I booked up almost immediately to come was he was enthusing about how wonderful it is. But I think that the therapy she provides is neurophysiology. And I must say that so far, I haven't gone on any medication at all. And I think that I've improved since I was diagnosed. And I think that's because I have been doing the exercises. And I'm so looking forward to coming to the centre and maybe even improving on that, because I'm determined for as long as possible to avoid taking levodopa.
Yeah, great. I make no promises to anybody. I can only just say that we will promise to give our full, every member of our staff will give their maximum to give support to you, every single person who comes, and every therapist who comes and wants to learn. We want to help people with Parkinson get back their lives and to live their lives and have the best therapy possible in the world. And we just think it wrong that we're given this diagnosis of Parkinson's, sent home with a bottle of pills, and we go on the internet and read that we're going to be in a wheelchair in 20 years. That's absolute rubbish. And I'm pleased we can set the record straight. I wish more people were doing it.
Okay, if there are no more questions for Alex, I don't see anyone wanting to ask. Go ahead, Alison, last question.
Hello again. One thing I wondered was, do you, in your centre, do you use the arts at all, especially for the psychological aspect?
Occupational, one of the things that we find, or research has demonstrated to be very beneficial to people with Parkinson's, is having a hobby, is having a reason, something which you go to bed at night thinking about and get up the next morning wanting to do. For me, that is improving the lives of people with Parkinson's and my faith. But crafts and arts and creativity is a very, very good outlet. Lots of people start painting, they start writing books, and we do discuss that, and we do some of that, but we don't have an actual program for it. But we know very well the power of creativity. Actually creating something gives us a feeling of warmth. I built a wardrobe at the top of the stairs, and every time I go up the stairs, I get this warm feeling in my heart. And then I hear the voice coming from the bedroom. It would have cost cheaper if we'd gone to IKEA, my wife. But I am proud of doing that wardrobe. So I do know what you're saying. And yes, we understand that. We don't have a full session where we do arts and crafts. Maybe we should. Maybe that's something to think about.
I was thinking as well about the power of art therapy.
Yes, I agree with that. We do a little of that, but maybe what you're suggesting is is really interesting. And I think you're going to shock my people when I go back, when I will suggest that we look at doing something like that.
Well, I shall hope to come out in the spring with along with Vicky if I can manage it, and we can have fun.
You'll have fun, that's for sure.
Okay, so I'd like to thank everyone for attending today, but most of all, I'd like to thank Alex for a very powerful and stimulating, inspirational presentation. And looks as though you'll have a number of visitors from Edinburgh at your centre over the next 6 months or so, Alex, which is good news.
Well, it's been a great honour to speak to you, and I want to thank you personally for inviting me, and every one of you for listening to me. Not everyone does listen to me. My wife doesn't.
It was our pleasure. Thank you very much.
And most importantly, God bless you, and keep smiling. Never give up.
Thank you. And we'll hope to see many of you again before not too long. Bye.
God bless you.